How are you doing today?
Very good.
Awesome. That's wonderful because, you know, it would be really easy just to quit, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
All right. We have hecklers in the front row. Some days are easier than others, aren't they? Yes, they are. We have to deal with things like weakness. You dealing with weakness this morning, Jeff? You know, I'm sitting there trying to think about things that we're going to be talking about this morning, and what a way to introduce it. You talk about, well, how are you feeling? How are you doing? And you talk about, how are you doing spiritually? And sometimes our physical really does affect the spiritual, doesn't it? Yes, it does. It would be really easy just to, if you're harboring injury or you wake up sore in the morning or you wake up feeling sick, to just let that get to you and not understand what Jesus has done, to let it stop you. We're going to be in the book of Hebrews for a while, and we're going to do a couple of things, okay? So we're going to continue on with our theme of moving forward, right? The whole book of Hebrews is about that theme, and it was my intention to start at a different place and a different time, to go right through the book of Hebrews, but we're going to take it up in pieces. Okay, instead of marching all the way through it from beginning to the end, we're going to try to take it through pieces, especially as Easter approaches, especially as we talk about who Jesus is. There's really two things about the book of Hebrews that if you study it, it should just pop right out to you. Number one, Jesus is better than the old system. Jesus is better than the angels. Jesus better than Moses. Jesus is better than the law. Jesus is better than the high priest. Jesus is better than everything, absolutely. And that's what the main message of Hebrews is about. But scattered in among the Jesus is better than passage, or parts, okay, that's the main theme, there are these little warning passages. Since Jesus is better than this, then we should be careful because of such and such. Okay? That's how we study the book of Hebrews. So we're going to start right smack dab in the middle of Hebrews, and for the next 3 or 4 weeks, we're going to go from this point, we're going to skip over the warning passages, and we're going to talk about how Jesus is better. We're going to talk about Jesus specifically for the next 3 Sundays, about how Jesus is our great high priest and how that helps us to move forward. How that helps us in our Christian life. Start talking like my little kids. Christian life. How we can move forward. How we can continue growing toward God. And I started off talking about weakness because it's our weakness sometimes that holds us back. It's our weakness. I mean, how easy is it in the morning when you wake up and you just don't feel like getting out of bed because it hurts? How easy is it to let that translate over to our devotion to our Lord, our relationship with God? I'm not feeling up to it. I'm not feeling like I want to do this, God. You see, sanctification or maturity means walking toward God, and it's not always the easiest walk in the world, is it? Just like life is not always the easiest thing in the world. We have bumps, we have bruises, we have setbacks, we have sins, we have all this stuff working against us. But we continue to keep our eyes focused on Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. So if you're here in the book of Hebrews, turn over to chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, and we're going to start reading in verse 14. Chapter 4, verse 14. If you're there, read along with me. It says, "Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. For every high priest chosen from among men is appointed to act on behalf of men in relation to God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He can deal gently with the ignorant and wayward, since he himself is beset with weakness. Because of this, he is obligated to offer sacrifice for his own sins, just as he does for the sins of the people. And no one takes this honor for himself, but only when called by God, just as Aaron was. So also Christ did not exalt himself to be made high priest, but was appointed by him who said, 'You are my son, today I have begotten you.' And as he says in another place, 'You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek.' In the days of Jesus, in the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplication with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverence. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him, being designated by God a priest, a high priest, after the order of Melchizedek." Kind of a fun passage there, isn't it? There's just so much here, and we could probably spend weeks just in this passage. But suffice to say, we're going to get through it today. Check on my time. All right. First of all, the writer to the book of Hebrews, he takes this idea, Melchizedek, he takes this idea of a high priest, somebody who's both priest and king, and he says to us, we have a great high priest. Right? So when we look at Jesus as the great high priest, we have to understand what a priest is and what a priest does. See, in the Old Testament, we had priests. In the New Testament, we have the priesthood of the believer. In the New Testament, we have a great high priest who is Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, if you wanted to worship God and take care of either sins, or you wanted to offer a certain gift to God, you would go to the temple. Now, you couldn't go to the temple and offer the sacrifice yourself. You had to go through a priest. And so the priest was somebody who acted as a mediator between who? You and God. And so when he went to the temple, he would then take your offering, whether it would be for sins or whether it would be for thankfulness, and he would set that offering and they would burn it up. And in some cases, you would even enjoy that sacrifice in fellowship with the priests before God. We have a great high priest. Starting off, this is who Jesus is to us. He is a great high priest. He is the one who stands by God in our behalf. He stands there as a great mediator, someone who is in between us and him. What is it about this high priest? So we have this great high priest, this high priest, he says, who has passed through the heavens. Well, that's interesting, isn't it? Because there's a couple of different things that we pull through this idea that Jesus has passed through. I shouldn't say Jesus because the writer hasn't really brought that up yet, has he? He says, we just have this great high priest and he's passed through the heavens. He's passed through the heavens. You know, in the Old Testament, in the tabernacle or even the temple system, there was a great veil to hide the presence of God. Or I shouldn't say to hide, but to keep the holiness of God holy. To keep the holiness of God separate from sinful man. And for God's presence to be there, there was a great divide. Even spiritually, there is this kind of divide in between us. We talk about the spiritual realm. We don't see with eyes into the spiritual realm, but we understand that God is there. We know who he is based on the Holy Spirit. We know what he's done. We have a high priest that's passed there. He's gone through that veil. We have this idea that that he has passed. When the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies, the presence of the Shekinah glory of God, that he only went there one time a year, and he wasn't there very long, just enough to offer atonement to cover over the sins of Israel, so the presence of God could be there with the children of Israel. We have a great high priest who's not there once a year for just a little bit. We have a great high priest who's passed in the heavens, and that's where his residence is. He stands before God, or sits before God now. He is between us and God now. And that's important, isn't it? Especially if you, I'm going to put a plug in here for Sunday school. Please make time to come. What did we learn about heaven? Who is there? What is Christ doing? What was that? He's interceding, but who is there accusing? Satan. Okay? Jesus, our great high priest, is standing there as when Satan accuses the brethren, that's what he does. There's a high priest there to stand between us and God. To say, obviously he's accusing believers, brothers. He says, I paid for that. As Satan accuses, Jesus says, I paid for that. We have a great high priest. His presence is before the Lord. We are in him. We are connected to him. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens. And he says, his name is Jesus. Whoa, wait a minute. We understand that he has a name. What kind of a name is Jesus? It's a human name. I think that's significant, don't you? Why would the writer to Hebrews bring up the humanness of Christ first? What do you think? Bingo. So we can relate to him. So he can relate to us. We have this great high priest. His name is Jesus. He sits there. He's passed through the heaven. He's there between us and God. That's an amazing truth that we can, it should be a comfort for us. As we sit and we think about now our life, where we are, the troubles that we're going through, sometimes it's really tough to move on to maturity. Think about it. We have this great high priest standing there for us, in our behalf. I was watching this show last night, and these people who have no survival instincts at all. They've never been out in the woods, ever. They're deep city people are taken out to this barren place, and they're given communication and they're given cameras. And they have to make it, they have to spend one night in the wilderness, whether it's in the desert or whether it's in one I watched in the desert and one was in the northwest portions of Washington. They have to spend the night out there, and they have to figure out, they have to get from one place to another. They have to trek some pretty dangerous stuff, right? Now, what are the odds of getting somebody from the city to survive? And I'm not just saying that country people or people that are used to the wilderness are better by any means of it, but take somebody who's used to all that and never spent any time in the wilderness and throw them out there. How long do you think they would survive? Less than a minute. Well, they would survive for a little while, but how would they get to the place where they could get out unless somebody was there to be for them? Unless somebody was to direct them and be communicating with them. How do we do this? How do we get from one place to the other? And you need to climb this mountain. You need to use your rope. You need to kill that thing. You need to build this shelter. All right? They are there for them. They're working for them to get them out of that situation. In kind of the same way, Jesus is there for us. He is in the presence of God. He is there. He knows who we are. Let's just stop right there with the idea of Jesus and his humanity, okay? Because I'm getting a little ahead of myself. He says, then, Jesus, the Son of God. All right. So we have his humanity, and we have his deity all wrapped in one. Okay, that's a big, there's a big theological word for that called the hypostatic union, if you want to mark that down, whatever. Do it with it what you want. It means that God, that Jesus is both man and God. And here the writer to the Hebrews highlights both. What is it about God that makes him special here? What do you think that the writer might be highlighting? When you talk about the experience of humanity and God doing what? What do you think? So characteristics of God. How much does God know? Everything. And so that means he is omniscient. That's right, FBI people. Should get that one. All right. God can take care of anything because he is all powerful. That's called omnipotence. Think about that in relation to who Jesus is sitting there, standing there at the right hand of God. I should say sit. It's sometimes he stands, sometimes he sits. What is that? Think about it. His humanity and his deity is there as he mediates for us, as he is our great high priest being for us, being the one who has experienced humanity and the one who is God. He has omniscience. He knows. He has omnipotence. He is powerful and can do things. We have this great high priest. He's passed through the heavens, Jesus. And so then, the writer to the book of Hebrews says this, let us then do what? Draw near with confidence. Let us draw near to God, near to the throne of mercy. Let us hold fast to the confession of our faith. Let us hold fast to our confession. Because we have this great high priest who understands he's God and man, let us hold fast to our confession. What is it about confessing? What's some characteristics of confessing? Putting it all out there. Agreeing with God, being humble, okay? So here's this idea that because Jesus is who he says he is, we should agree with God and say this is who Jesus is. We should put it all out there. Our confession is something that people see or people hear. Now, I don't know about you, but there are days when I wake up in the morning or and it just, and it affects, because I may not, I keep reaching toward my back this morning. I'm a little sore, okay? I pulled something or something's out of place. That's why I keep doing this. This is my sign, okay? If I have problems, it's usually because I have lower back pain. Now, you might have other types of issues. But you know what? When I'm sore, when I'm hurting, you know what? I don't necessarily want to be the most spirit-filled guy in the whole world. I don't want to be nice anymore. How about you? Nope. What happens when you have stress in your life? Maybe it's not you, maybe it's somebody else that's bothering you or something else that's bothering you. How does that, what does that make you like if you let it? Huh? Nasty. Tired. Inwardly focused. Short-tempered. Cranky. Yes. So, that's nasty. Let us hold fast to our confession. We have a high priest who understands us. He knows us. He can do something about it. Let us therefore hold fast to our confession. Don't quit. Don't stop. Keep moving forward. Where have we heard that before? Meet the Robinsons. Finding Nemo. Yeah, Paul said some stuff. Let us hold fast to our confession. And then if you look in the scripture here, the writer gives us this word, for, or because. For, we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. So here we see Jesus, okay, he says, we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with us. Okay. The benefit of Jesus coming and living on this earth for us and dying for us and be a resurrected for us means that he's there with God. He's experienced human life. And now because of his experience in human life, guess what? He can sympathize with us because he was tempted. He took on human frailty. He took on human weakness and was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Do you think maybe sometimes Jesus' muscles hurt after he walked all day? Or he cramped up when he was riding in the boat? Or maybe they didn't run across a field that day that had food in it, and so maybe they only got one meal? Or what about, you know, we read about the compassion of Jesus when we see, when he looks out on people and he sees them in a hurt, in their hurting, he understands it. We have a high priest who sympathizes with us because he was tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. You mean what, Jesus was tempted? Yes. Jesus was tempted. Not that he could sin. But he was tempted nonetheless. He understands what that's about. What do you mean? Well, think about when after his 40 days of fasting. What would that be like? 40 days of fasting. He goes into the wilderness and is tempted immediately by Satan. He's tempted because he's hungry. The weakness. Satan said, make these stones into bread. The lust of the flesh. Jesus said, nope. Don't tempt me. You cannot tempt the Lord your God. So Satan took him someplace else. Says, I will give you the kingdoms of this world. Lust of the eyes. He said, nope, they're not yours to give. He said, took him up to exceeding high place, and he says, jump down from here because you know that you'll be protected. Nope. The pride of life. Jesus might not have been tempted to go steal a Lamborghini because it might be fun. But he was still tempted because of his human weakness. And so he understands. He understands us when we sin. We have a great high priest who sympathizes with us because he went through life. What a glorious thought that is. What a beautiful thing for us. That God lived this life for us. Because of that, now we get to, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Many times we don't move forward because we're stuck, right? I can't get out of my sin, or I'm embarrassed. I feel guilty because of my sin. Jesus doesn't want to be close to me anymore. God doesn't want me. And that's not the truth, is it? That's a lie. It's a lie that we believe, a lie that we tell ourselves. But here it says, because of Jesus is who he is, because he understands, because he sympathizes with us, we can draw near. Let us go ahead and do it. It's a command. The writer of Hebrews says, come on with me. Let's draw near to the throne of grace. Most of the time when we think about sin and we think about our failures because of our weakness, what happens? We think about the throne being a place of not grace, but judgment. But that's just not true because we have a great high priest who understands us. And because he's there to us, then the throne becomes grace and mercy. Why do we need grace? Because of our weakness. Why do we need mercy? Because of our sin. And that help comes in our time of need. This is why we can keep moving forward. This is why we can continue to be like Christ. That's what sanctification is all about. We start this eternal life experience with Christ, in Christ. We're saved because we believe in who he is. Because we believe that Jesus is the Christ. He's the Son of God, and he died and he rose again for us, and he gives eternal life. And then, that's the starting place. Then we grow. Then we mature. Then we become more sanctified. And as as we go through testings and trials, as James 1 talks about, he does it so that we can be perfect, that we can be mature. He understands that path. He wants to help us in that path. We can continue on that path, though we may fall, though we may have weakness. Is that encouraging to you today? That was quick. Sometimes we forget, and in this, I forget, in this whole sanctification process. I think, well, you know, it's about me getting to the place that I need to be. And I'm going to do it in my power. Maybe you're there with me, I don't know. Maybe I'm just crazy that way. I try and sanctify myself, but that doesn't work, does it? But I lean on Christ. He is my high priest, the go-between between me and God, my mediator. He's there all the time. Does God sleep? No, God neither slumbers nor sleeps. That's point one. That we have this great high priest. So then we have to ask ourselves, okay, what is it exactly that a high priest does? And I explained this a little bit, but the writer Hebrews does this. He says, since then we have a great high priest first chapter 5, verse 1. For every high priest chosen among men is appointed to act on behalf of men in relation to God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. All right? And I kind of already gave that background. But this is what the writer of the Hebrews is explaining. Every high priest is chosen by God to do something. He is chosen to offer gifts and sacrifices, just like Aaron was. He says, he can deal gently with the ignorant and wayward, since he himself is beset with weakness. All right, so we're talking about this regular human high priest, somebody that was born in the line of Aaron that exercised the office of high priest. This was the guy who went into the Holy of Holies one time a year. All right? He offered atonement. So this guy, understanding our weakness, could go in there. He can deal gently with the ignorant and wayward, since he himself is beset with weakness. The humanity of Christ helps Jesus do this. The humanity of the high priest helps him do this as well. And so he could go in there understanding humanity, understanding weakness. He deals gently with the ignorant and wayward. What does it mean to be ignorant? No, I'm sorry. It's not stupid. Good try, buddy. Good try. Lacking information, okay? No. If you were part of the pistol class yesterday, you understood that the gun accidents happen by two reasons. One is ignorance, and one is carelessness. Carelessness is stupid. Okay, good. Ignorance is lack of information. I mean, Jesus understands that we have a lack of information? Yeah. Do we sin ignorantly sometimes? Yes. Yes, we do. Do we sin on purpose? That's called wayward. Do we ever get wayward? Do we ever get out of the way, get off the path that we're supposed to be walking? Yes. Now, that doesn't stop us from continuing back on the path. But the high priest understands what it's like, so he can deal gently with us. Because think about, what would it be like if we didn't have a go-between between us and God? You have the judge of all the earth and you sin against him. What would that be like? So, this high priest is also obligated to offer sacrifice for his own sin, just as he does for those of the people. And no one takes this honor for himself, but only called by God, just like Aaron was. So Christ also did not exalt himself to be made a high priest, but was appointed by him who said to him, "You are my son, today I have begotten you." So Jesus was given this specific task by God himself. I want you to do this. And so Jesus came, lived this life perfectly. He lived it without sin. He died, he rose again, he became our high priest. He was chosen to do this. He has this specific purpose, and it was even prophesied to do this back in the Old Testament. In the Psalms, "You are my son, today I've gotten you." That's Psalm 2:7. And he says in another place, "You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek," Psalm 110, verse 4. Why does he bring up this Melchizedek stuff? Because the priest had to be of the line of who? Aaron. Jesus was from the line of Judah. So he technically, because of that, wasn't qualified to be the Jewish high priest, but he became a priest after the order of Melchizedek, who was a priest, if you look back in Genesis, was a priest to the Most High God. So Jesus now then becomes a king and a priest. We'll get into more Melchizedek stuff later, so just leave it there. He says, "You are a priest forever." So in the days of Jesus, of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplication with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverence. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him, being designated by God a priest after the order of Melchizedek. So, Jesus, being the one appointed to be the high priest after the order of Melchizedek, could go before God, and he'd even fulfilled some of these some of his duties while he was here on this earth in his flesh. It says he cried out with prayers and supplication, and the idea is not cold, dead theological prayers. There's no, "Bless this person, Father." No, what does it say he did? What do you see in the language? It says he, how did he give his prayers and supplication? He cried out. I don't know, the last time I read a book and it said somebody cried out, I didn't have the picture of somebody just sitting there, blah, 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 blah. His compassion for people. He offered up prayers and supplications. As a high priest, look at his passion. And he was heard because of his reverence. Although he was a son, he learned obedience. That's a strange word, a strange phrase, isn't it? That Jesus learned obedience as a son. So, Jesus, I like to often jump back when I think about the life of Christ, I jump back to Philippians 2. Jesus, he's the King of glory, right? He existed before his incarnation, eternally. He is the same as God, but he came down to this earth to be a man. He was made in the form of a servant, in the likeness of man. God calls him a son. And as a man, he learned obedience. He lived through this life with all its pain, with all its sorrow, with all its troubles, and he learned through that what it's like to be obedient. And even Philippians 2 says he became obedient even unto death, even the death of the cross. He knows us. He knows what we go through every day. He experienced humanity. He even learned obedience. And being made perfect, he became the source of salvation to all who obey him. What do you mean he became perfect? He was always perfect. When he completed, okay, the idea behind perfect is also being complete. When he completed his ministry here, okay, when he came through his experience and completed his humanity here on this earth, he became the source of salvation, eternal salvation, to all who obey him, being designated by God a priest after the order of Melchizedek. So, how is it that I can take this wonderful news, this gospel, if you will, that Jesus not only is this person who gives us salvation, but he's a person who understands us, and he's a priest. He's our high priest. How can I take this news, this wonderful news that I've learned today or that I've reviewed today, how do I take that and apply it? How do I take that and I move forward? That's a good question, isn't it? It means I don't get stuck in my waywardness. As people, we lose our focus so quickly. Ask somebody who knows me. I can jump from one thing to the next and forget where I've been. Squirrel. And that's the way people are, aren't we? Our focus is on Christ, but whoa, what's this? Waywardness. Don't let waywardness, sin, don't let that hold you back. Don't feel like that has to keep you down. We can still mature. We can still grow in Christ. Confess it. Deal with it and move on. Grow closer to him. Don't feel that ignorance is holding you back. Though we are ignorant, we don't have all the information. We don't know it all. God understands that. He's not going to, there's not this big test, okay? There's not this big written test that you have to know Hebrew and Greek and you know, all the major arguments of all the books of the Bible and all the facets of doctrine. You don't have to know that for sanctification. It helps when you get information, but there's no big test, and God's going to say, no, you're not getting close to me until you learn this lesson, boy. God wants to have that fellowship with us. You don't have to be rocket scientists or theologians. No, Jesus wants that relationship. We're to draw close to him. We're to continue to mature, to grow in him. And that's how Jesus, our great high priest, helps us, because he's there. He's there for us. He's there with God. when we're accused, when we fall of our own will, or we fail in our own ignorance. Amazing truth. So when you think there's, when you've got somebody in your cheering section, doesn't that help encourage you to keep moving forward? I'll just leave you with that thought, that Jesus is for us, for and behalf of God. You pray with me this morning? I just ask, Lord, that you would help us to realize that truth. Help us to understand how it affects our walks daily, how that we can grow in maturity and sanctification, that we can become more like you, and it's through the ministry of Jesus. God, we thank you so much for that. If there's somebody here who doesn't know you, who's never started that walk by faith, Lord, I pray that this would be the morning that they would make that right. But Lord, there's so many of us here that we get overcome by our own weakness, whether it's pain or hunger or sorrow. We get stuck in our humanness, and Lord, I pray that you'd help us to realize that you don't hold that against us, but you want to help us through it, that you want us to walk towards you, to keep moving forward. If there's anybody here who's having trouble, Lord, I pray that they would let us pray for them. They would find someone who's willing to go to God. We thank you that, Jesus, you're there. And Lord, we thank you that you're there standing between God and our accuser. Help us to be encouraged this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.